Good evening, everybody. Welcome to part two of Hilchos Muktzah. Last week, we discussed the source, the origins of Hilchos Muktzah, and we found out that it was actually a very, very, very early Takana Midrabanan from the time of Nehemiah, the time of Tanakh. That was when Muktzah really started. We saw different reasons. We saw the Gemara points out that Muktzah is a way to make us aware of what's in our hands so that we don't come to carry it where there's no Erev. We saw some other reasons that we want our actions on Shabbos to be different than our actions during the week. We saw that we want to be make sure that we don't come to violate anything usur by not having things in our hands that we could do isurim with. Then we talked about the first category of muktzah, which is a kli shemalachto leheter. It's not muktzah. It's things that are mutter to use. Like, what's an example of a kli shemalachto leheter? A kli that you use for heter. A fork, a spoon, a knife, clothing, linen, furniture, broom, books, keys, watches, toys, even a blech, by the way. What happens if you put up your food without a blech? Is a blech muktzah? Blech is not muktzah. You could put a blech on Shabbos, so if Shabbos starts and you forgot to put on the blech, you could put on a blech on Shabbos. You can't turn on a hot plate, but you could place a blech over an existing fire. That is a kli shemalach to leheter. It's not muktzah. You could move it. So if it's not muktzah, why are we talking about it? Yesterday we mentioned a very important halacha that no one really knows except all the people who were here last week, and now everybody here this week will also know, that a kli shemalach to leheter, again, a piece of clothing, a serving utensil, a chair, they're not muktzah. You're allowed to move them whenever you need to, but it's only whenever you need to. If you want to move something for no reason whatsoever, that the halachas of Shabbos state, you cannot move items for no reason whatsoever. So if I just want to play with my watch for no reason, that is not permitted on Shabbos, even though a watch is not muktzah. So as we said last week, in a certain sense, almost everything in the world is really, in a certain sense, muktzah, if you're going to be moving it for no reason. The exceptions to that, as we mentioned last week, were things like eating utensils, anything on a dining room table, bowl, plate, cup, fork, knife, spoon, and perhaps clothing and jewelry. Those things you could touch as much as you want. And what are the other examples? Sfarim, you could touch as much as you want even if there's no need for it. And food also, you could touch as much as you want even though there's no need to touch them. But all the other things, like your bag, your chair, your watch, your tissue box, all those things, you should only be moving if you want to move them, if you need to do something with them. That was last week. Then, we started the first category of things that are really muktzah, and that, if you look on your sheets on the bottom left, is a kli shemalach to leiser. Is there anyone who needs a sheet? A kli shemalach to leiser, a kli, a utensil, an item with that which has a specific task. That's how we define the utensil that is used normally under normal circumstances for iser. So let's get some examples. We started last week and we'll get to some more details. The classic example is a hammer. What do you do with a hammer? You build. I'm not allowed to build on Shabbos. So Chazal said, don't move the hammer lest you might come to bang in a nail. Let's talk about a measuring cup. What do you do with a measuring cup? If you say that you measure with a measuring cup, then a measuring cup for you will be muktzah, because on Shabbos, one of the isurim derabanan is that you're not allowed to measure things, except if it's for mitzvah. What's an example of measuring for a mitzvah? What? Oh, maybe for... I never thought of that. You want to make sure you have a revius. It's more common. You don't, like, measure with a measuring cup. You just use a becher that hopefully has a revius in it. But if you're not sure, yes, if you're not sure, if you have a new cup and you're not sure, or let's say it happens at the Seder night, right? Your mother gets these new cups for the Seder and you want to make sure there's a revius in them to drink your wine. So you would be permitted to measure with the measuring cup and look at the lines because it's a medida shel mitzvah. What's another case of a medida? Limdot is to measure a measurement for mitzvah? Taking temperature. Taking temperature, we're not talking about digital for now. Taking temperature with a mercury thermometer is usur. However, since you're doing it for health reasons, to keep yourself healthy, for somebody who's sick, that's considered a medida shel mitzvah, a mitzvah measurement, and therefore it is mutter to take temperature on Shabbos. It is not mutter to know what the temperature is outside, to know if you should wear a sweater or a coat or a sweatshirt, and you take your thermometer and go outside with it. For that, that would be usser. So let's say a measuring cup. A measuring cup, if I usually use it, you say you use it to measure things. So in your house, a measuring cup would be muktzah. In my house, I usually use a measuring cup to pour. If I need to pour things, then I just, from one place to another place, I use a measuring cup. In my house, it won't be muktzah. What's the difference between your house and my house? The difference is, what's the majority usage of the item? Sometimes items are mostly used for one thing, mostly used for another thing. Last week we talked about a Pyrex glassware dish that you could both cook with and serve in. So you're cooking, you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, so if it's just a pot that you cook with, that would be muktzah. A serving dish, you're allowed to serve on Shabbos, so a serving dish is not muktzah. What about a Pyrex or a what's the other name? Not Pyrex, Corningware. Thank you, you were listening. Corningware dish that you could cook in and serve in. So it depends on what's the majority of uses that you use. In my house, you cook once, and then you serve at Shabbos lunch, leftover shalashuddas, and then Monday night for leftovers. So we're serving with it three times, and it's staying in the fridge. So I have four uses for it that are mutter. One use, the cooking of the kugel, that's aser. So this Pyrex casserole dish will be mutter, because it will be defined by the majority use. And the majority use is shel heter, of permissive use. So that will define this dish as a thing that is melachto for heter. Yes?
Does that same thing apply, let's say you're on a diet and you usually use measuring cups to measure your food, but you also eat out of them?
So if you eat out of measuring cups more than you measure food out of them, that will make it mutter. And yes, measuring cups will not be muktzah, correct. They will not be a klishim lachto le'iser. Because whenever you have a mix, two uses for something, you'll always follow the majority. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Yes?
You should not be cooking on Shabbos.
On yes, you can cook on Yom Tov. That's a great question. You're saying the cooking is fine. Could you use a thermometer to, you know, stick into, let's talk about Thanksgiving, right? You want to stick your thermometer into your the middle of your turkey on Chag HaSukkos, let's say, or on Pesach. So that's a medida. Is it shel mitzvah? That's a good question. I don't know what the answer is. You're saying maybe it's a mitzvah because it's a Sudas Yom Tov. There's nothing also with the cooking aspect. I don't know the answer. I'm not sure. Yes? Okay, so let's go there in a minute. We'll go there in a minute. Right now we're just defining what is considered a klisha melachta l'iser. But let's talk, what are the rules of all these things that are melachta l'iser? What are the rules of a hammer, of a flashlight, of a sewing needle, of a rolling pin. What do you do with a rolling pin? It helps you bake. A rolling pin is going to be mukta. That means does that mean you can't bang somebody over the head with it? So that we'll see in 30 seconds. So what are the halachas of these tools? Again, we're talking about the bottom left category, kli shemalachtam le'iser, a kli that you use primarily for things that are not permitted on Shabbos, like a hammer. Let's talk about a hammer. It makes life easier. So, of course, the Shulchan Aruch says that I am permitted to move it if I want letzorech mekomo, it's in my way, it's obstructing my way, or letzorech gufo, I want to use it for itself. What does it mean for itself? You want to do something permitted. Whatever permitted thing that you could do with a hammer, other than bang it, that's not banging your nails, for those things I can move. So classical example, the hammer is on my table where I want to eat lunch, so I can move my hammer, lift it up with my hand, without any shinui. Lift the hammer up with my hand, move it away, and place it wherever I'd like. Or there's a coconut, I want to crack the coconut, take out my hammer, take out my nail, knock the nail in the eye of the coconut, open up my coconut, that's mutter. Let's talk about some more specific details where we could be using the heterim that apply to a kli shemalachto le'iser. And you'll see, things will just become illustrated as we go through the details. Let's say you have a sewing needle, right? That's 1.5 inches long with an eye on top, thread through the top. and you want to use that to take out a splinter. Now, as long as you're not causing yourself to bleed, you could take out a splinter on Shabbos. So using the sewing needle, which is no different than a hammer, you use it to sew, which is prohibited on Shabbos. So take the sewing needle and using it for a different usage, that's tzorech gufo, that would be permitted. So you can use a sewing needle to take out a splinter. Let's talk about a ruler. We said you can't measure on Shabbos. What happens if I want to take a ruler to scratch my back? I can't reach with my hand, I take the ruler to scratch my back. Ever see someone with a cast on his arm and it itches underneath the cast? So what do? You take a crocheting needle or a ruler and scratch underneath your cast. Crocheting needles are muktzah. You're not allowed to crochet. Rulers are muktzah. You're not allowed to measure. But if you're going to use the kli shemlachto le'iser for a permitted use, for some alternate use other than a regular use, that is mutter. What about an umbrella? Opening an umbrella on Shabbos might be creating an ohel, creating some kind of, you know, tent or a roof over yourself, so you can't use an umbrella on Shabbos. But I want to use it as a walking cane. That's permitted. You could use an umbrella as a walking cane. You could use an umbrella to get that can off the top shelf. Why? Because it's kli shemlachto le'iser that you're using letzorech gufo. One thing that's interesting, let's say you're at your desk and you have a lamp on your desk and you have all these pieces of paper that are going to fly away because you want to open the windows, so you need something to keep the papers down. Could you move that lamp? Just take the lamp with your hand, again, with your hand, lift it up and put it over your papers so they don't fly away. So a lamp is a kli shemlachto le'iser. Turning it on is aser. But you can use a kli shemlachto le'iser for other uses. So halacha is only if the light is off. If the lamp is off. If the lamp is on, is lit, then there's another iser which we'll talk about, not this week, maybe next week, maybe in 2 weeks. But if the lamp is off, you can take the lamp and lift it up with your hands and use it as a paperweight. What about rocks as a paperweight? That's not for now, because a rock is not a kli. A rock is not a utensil. It's not an item with a designated purpose, so it's not going to be talked about right now. Question? Exactly. Even though it's plugged in, and we'll talk about more scenarios of things that are plugged in, you can move it. As long as it's off, you can move a plugged-in lamp to protect your papers, and we'll talk about some applications of plugged-in items in about 4 minutes. Correct. Even if we would ask the physicist and he'd say that electrons are running in, but electrons shouldn't be running in if the circuit is closed. But even if we ask the physicist and he'd say that electrons are running through it and there is electricity through it, that doesn't make it, that makes it kli shemlachto le'iser. Any physicists here? No? Good. Are there electrons running through a lamp if the lamp is off, if the circuit is closed? I mean, is open? There might be. So, halacha le'maaseh it's mutter. If you leave things in, that's true. Right, that is true. Okay. Let's talk about another halacha that's very important to talk about. A toothbrush. Is a toothbrush mukta? Everyone's going to give me looks now. Either of course it is, or of course it's not. Everybody feels very strongly about their toothbrush, I know. So to brush teeth with water and toothpaste, that could be problematic on Shabbos. So I would say, if that's your tool to do something prohibited on Shabbos, that sounds like a kli shemlachto le'iser. However, there are permitted ways to brush your teeth on Shabbos. Ramosha Feinstein in Orach Chaim, first volume of Orach Chaim, Siman 112, Kuf Yud Beis, it was asked, could you brush your teeth on Shabbos? So he says you can't use toothpaste, but the way that a person can brush his or her teeth on Shabbos is take a dry toothbrush, it's not pleasant, but it works, take a dry toothbrush without toothpaste, and brush. What do you mean? But we just said that since it's usually used with toothpaste and water, that will be a kli shemlachto le'iser, it's mukta. The answer is yes, it is mukta, but it's a kli shemlachto le'iser, and what could you do with that? You could use it litzorech gufo, for an alternate purpose. What's an alternate purpose? Brushing your teeth in a permitted way. So says Rav Moshe, a toothbrush is a kli shemlachto le'iser, because usually used with toothpaste, and that's problematic. But you can use it without toothpaste. That's just an alternate way to use a toothbrush. These were all different applications of using something that's sort of using something that's a tool for Isser, using it for an alternate use. Let's talk about the question that you asked before, other things that are plugged in. Yeah. So based on what I just said, you can use an electric toothbrush without turning it on, of course, to brush your teeth on Shabbos without water or toothpaste. Yes. Good kula, no? Okay, it's not just chumras, guys. It's not just chumras. Okay, let's give you some more kulas. You have a fan that's plugged in. Not only is it plugged in, but it's even blowing. Now, can I turn it on Shabbos? Of course not. Can I turn it off? Also, of course not. That's a klisha malach tola iser. But I could use it for a use of heter. What's the use of heter? Well, the fact that it's blowing on me is nothing prohibited about that. So I can use it, litzorech gufo, to make it blow on me. Again, once it's already blowing, so instead of blowing at the svarim shanks with the books over there, why should it blow there? Let it blow on me. So I can turn a fan with my hands, lift it up, whatever I have to do, and move the fan that is plugged in and that is running to blow on me and make me cooler. Good? That's a good cooler, yeah? That we're going to talk about in 1.5 minutes, because that's a different halacha. Okay? Yes? Oh, excellent question. I think that would be the same thing. If you want it to blow on you, right? Let's say it's blowing on you and your roommate. But your roommate falls asleep, so she doesn't realize that she's not going to get any air. So what do? When she's sleeping, you bang the thing when it's on you. That would be 100% mutter. That you're allowed to move, I mean, not in terms of your roommate, but in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, that would be fine. You're allowed to move the fan, certainly just press something on the side, to make it go directly on you. That would be mutter. Another application of this is, let's say you have your bed over here, a little night table. On your night table, you have a plugged-in alarm clock. One of the, you know, with the LED, the bright LED lights, not lights, numerals that you could see at night. And as you're getting ready for Shabbos, you know, things get thrown all over the place and it's not facing you. And it's very frustrating. In the middle of the night, you get up and you can't see what time it is. By the time you lift your body up and turn around to figure out what time it is, you're already going to be too awake to fall back asleep. So we like our alarm clock facing us when we go to sleep. But it's not. And it's plugged in, and the light is on. So as we're saying now, you can't turn on the light, you can't plug it in, that's Isser. So it's a klisha malach tola Isser. But I could use it for something alternate other than turning it on, which is what? Seeing the numerals. So therefore, halach l'maisa, you are permitted to turn the alarm clock to face you, the electric LED plugged in alarm clock to face you, so you can see the numbers. Another example. We're starting to get to winter in Washington Heights. Those of you who are new to Washington Heights will know that Washington Heights is very hot during the winter because your apartment buildings send up lots of heat. So what do you do if you have a sensitive breathing? You want a cold water vaporizer, not hot water. That's not good for you. You want a cold water vaporizer. So a cold water vaporizer, you can't plug it in. But all it really does is there's a fan that's spinning around. And it's spinning, instead of an air, it's spinning in water, and it sends some spritz of water to the air as it turns around. So let's say you want to move it closer to your bed. While it's plugged in and spinning, that is permitted. Why? Because the klisha malach tola iser, you can't plug it in like a fan. But once you did the iser, you're just making it work in a way that you want it to work in a permitted way. You can move it close to you, and you could even add cold water on Shabbos. Not hot water, we could add cold water to a cold water vaporizer on Shabbos because there is no malacha involved in that. That's the end of our discussion of moving things that are letzorech gufo. Let's add one limitation. Yeah? It won't make a difference if it's plugged into a timer or not, correct? Yeah? We'll get there in a minute. That's a different halacha. We'll see in a minute. Every example that I said of using a klisha malachto le'iser for something that an alternate use, a tzorach gufo, there's one caveat. In all the examples that I said, That caveat is only if there is no equally accessible thing that's not muktzah. So for example, if I have a hammer and I have a coconut opener machine. Not machine, a coconut opener. So why should I use my hammer, which is a klishim lach tel iser? Oh, but it's okay, I could use a litzorach gufo and it's okay, when I could just use my coconut opener. Another example. Let's say you have that thing stuck on the top shelf. I could get it down with a broom, which is nothing wrong with a broom, or an umbrella. So it's true, an umbrella can be used if I need to for some permitted use, which is to get down a can from the top shelf. But since I can equally use a kli that's malach to leheter, that's a permitted kli like a broom, so why should I use the umbrella? With all the examples that we gave, the only time that you're allowed to use this kli shemalach to leiser with tzorach gufa for an alternate purpose is if there's nothing else available. What does it mean that there's nothing else available? It's not in the same room. Meaning, if the umbrella is in this room and the broom is in the kitchen or the pantry and I want to get the thing from the top shelf, I could use my umbrella. But if I'm in the kitchen where I have the broom here and I have the umbrella, so take four steps to your left and get your broom instead of the umbrella, because why should you use a mukta thing if you don't need to? So that's one limitation. Is that clear? That point is clear. Everyone understands that we can do tzorach gufos only if we need to. So for example, let's talk about moving the clock towards you. I have a glow-in-the-dark wristwatch, but there's something that I just like having my LED light next to me. So theoretically, you can move the LED alarm clock because it's the tzorach gufo. But hey, you have something else available. You have a wristwatch that glows in the dark. So if you have a wristwatch that glows in the dark, like me, I have a wristwatch that glows in the dark. So for me, it would not be permitted to move my digital alarm clock to face me on Shabbos. However, if my alarm clock was left on the dining room table Friday night after the meal, and I'm going to sleep now in bed, I don't have to go to the dining room to get my watch. I could just use my alarm clock and move it. Litzarach gufa. Good? Questions? We finished with the topic of litzarach gufo for kli shemalach tel iser. Now let's talk about another application, again, bottom left, for kli shemalach tel iser. We're talking about the same kind of items, but we're going to talk about litzarach mekomo. Let's say, again, the hammer is on my chair, and I want to sit down on that chair. Let's say I want to put my notes on the shtender, and there's a hammer here. I could take off the hammer with my hand, move it away. What do you think about the following scenario? Friday afternoon, you're in a big rush. You threw your clothes in the laundry just an hour before Shabbos. It'll take 50 minutes to dry. You'll have clean, dry, warm clothing for Shabbos. Nothing like putting on warm clothes, right? That's always the best. Now, 10 minutes before Shabbos, you're not thinking about the laundry. You're thinking about, oh my gosh, I have to set up the crock pot, and I have to do the blech, and I have to do this, and oh my gosh, do I have to light candles? You light your candles, you say Kabbalah Shabbos, you daven mar, and then, oh my gosh, I forgot my pajamas in the dryer. So is the dryer a cliche? What's the dryer? Are you allowed to dry clothing on Shabbos, plug something in, press buttons, and dry clothing on Shabbos? Of course not. So it's a cliche malach to le iser. But it's a klishim lach tel iser that's in your way. That door is in my way. That door of a klishim lach tel iser is obstructing my way to get to my nice, warm, clean pajamas. So what can I do? Take my hand and open the door. Why? Because it's using a klishim lach tel iser litzorech mekomo. I'm moving it because I need that place. It's in my way. It's obstructing me. That means I need that space. There's a wall here called a door. I need that space to get my hand through, to get my pajamas. Therefore, it is permitted to open the door of the dryer and take out your clean clothing. However, Moshe Feinstein points out in the notes that Rabbi Bodner has in his Muktzah book that if a person left clothes in his dryer on purpose that they should be there over Shabbos, because he doesn't need them for Shabbos, she doesn't need them for Shabbos. So that leaving the clothes on purpose in a dryer is your way of pushing them out of your Shabbos use. Or, as we say in Hebrew, being makzeh them. Push them away from Shabbos use. And then those clothing will be muktzah. The clothing themselves will be muktzah. But if you just happen to forget it in the dryer and you didn't have time to take it out, then the dryer is a klishem lachtel iser, tzarech lakomo, you can open the dryer. And similarly, let's say you have your desk where you do your reading on Shabbos afternoon, and Erev Shabbos you forgot your cell phone there. Cell phone is also a klishem lachtel iser, you can't make phone calls, of course, but you could move it if you need the space on your desk. Tzarech lakomo. Questions? I don't remember the halachas of wet clothing. There are halachas, the Mishnayos and Shabbos talk about wet clothing. Wet clothing might be muktzah because you might come to wring them out. And if they're muktzah, during Bein HaShemashos, there's a halacha in Hilchas Muktzah that maybe we'll talk about in a few weeks, maybe we won't. If something's muktzah during Bein HaShemashos when Shabbos comes in, its muktzah status stays regardless of whether it's still wet or not. So that I don't know. I'm not sure. Good question. Yeah. Excellent question. That's the tzarech makomo. I need it not to ring here. Right? I definitely need it not to ring here. Yes. Unfortunately, a few weeks ago, we had a more unfortunate situation. My plugged-in alarm clock was played with by some little devils on Friday afternoon that know that they're not allowed to play with my alarm clock for such very reasons. And lo and behold, at around 12:30-something or other Friday night, the alarm goes off. Not the alarm, the radio. And I don't know how many hours it's going to stay on. So I wasn't able to just move it to a different, because I would unplug it. But you, according to our logic, it should be permitted to take an alarm that's not plugged in. Yeah, you want to take your cell phone that's ringing. And you want it not to be here. That's a tzarech makomo. I need it not to be in this place. That would probably be the tzarech makomo, I think. And it should be mutter to move to somewhere else with your hands. I'm pretty sure. I'll give you a similar question, a similar situation. What happens about something that somebody that you asked before? If you have a fan that's blowing on you and it's making you cold, too cold. Your roommate wishes it was blowing at her, but it's blowing at you. You don't like it. It's making you too cold. So could you move the fan away from you? Before we said, now listen carefully, before we said that moving a fan towards you is the tzarech gufo. Well, if it's on you and it's bothering you, you don't want to use it for some permitted purpose. You just want to get it away. That's mutter. But not the tzarech gufo. That's mutter because it's a tzarech mekomo. You need that it shouldn't be over here. I need that it not be here. That's the tzarech mekomo. So here we have a funny application. Moving a fan towards you, that's mutter because it's klishem lach l'is the tzarech gufo. Moving the fan away from you is I need it not to blow on me. I need it not to be over here where it is. That's moving it the tzarech mekomo. Similarly with the light. Not the light, the digital alarm clock. Let's say the light is too bright. And you don't like when it faces, some people like when it faces them, some people don't like when it faces them. So I have the solution. My clock has a bright or a not bright setting. But let's say your clock is on bright, so you don't want it facing you. So you will be permitted to turn it away from you, and that will be Litzarech Mekomo. You need the brightness not to be here. Okay, question?
So even though these are examples of something that's permitted, is it better?
Excellent question. I thought I wrote down a Chazon Ish who said that is not true. The question is if it's... Yes, thank you, yes. The Chazon Ish, Memtes Ches, writes that even if you could... Let's say you have all these situations for Tzarech Gufo, Tzarech Mekomo, but let's say I figure I don't have to actually do it. I could move the hammer with my elbow. And other such alternative ways of moving mukta things on Shabbos, which we will talk about in probably 2 weeks. Says the Chazish, you don't have to. Even if you can move b'shinui or some other way, you don't have to. Tzarech makomo, tzarech gufo, you can move it with your hands straight away.
But I mean, ideally.
Oh, is it more religious of you to make sure you don't have hammers on your dining room table? I will not judge your religiosity. If I visit your house and you have a hammer on the dining room table, I will not judge your religiosity. Is it better to not have it? I could hear that. I could hear. Meaning, should I run around my... This is going to make people very OCD. Like running around the house Erev Shabbos, making sure... I guess maybe you should. Making sure the alarm clock is facing my bed. Making sure the fan is not facing my bed. Making sure... is it better if you do? Maybe it's not. I don't even know if it's better to do that. Naturally, it seems like it should be better. But halacha, I'm not sure. I don't have an answer for you. Yes. Cell phone going off. I don't want it here. Get it away from me. Lift it up with your hand. Your right hand. You're righty? Lift up with your right hand. Say, L'shem mitzvahs oneg Shabbos. And walk away. And once it's in your hand, you know where you could put it? Anywhere you want. Anywhere you want. Especially in that room down the hall. You know, the one who always keeps you up at night? Yes. Okay, so there are different kinds of muktzah. Right now we're only discussing klisha malachta le'isr, so a cell phone in your pocket. So you need that makom? What do you mean you need that makom? It's not comfortable for your hand with your cell phones there? All week long you're very comfortable. We'll have to talk about pockets when we talk about, what? Oh, you're saying that it's, Right, I hear that. Okay, I'll have to think about that. Somebody could text me that. Karen, you'll text me that after share, and I'll check that out. We'll talk about clothing with pockets later. That's also a different topic. Buses is a separate issue. Okay. Let's talk. We mentioned last week, I told you a funny story about tefillin. You remember the story with the... Those of you who are here remember a funny story. Are tefillin muktzah? Why should they be muktzah? Tefillin... or it might be muktzah for the following reason. There's a Zohar. The Zohar says, does any of you know what your father's minhag about wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed? Any of you know what your father's minhag about wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed is? Not to? Who says to? To? My minhag is yes to wear tefillin. Anyone who wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed does not make a brach. It's a big question if you're supposed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Because you only wear tefillin when there's... when it's permitted to do malacha. When it's prohibited to do malacha, like Shabbos, Yantif, you don't wear tefillin. What's Chol HaMoed? Well, Chol HaMoed is unclear whether midoraisa, so you're allowed to do malacha or you're not allowed to do malacha. So it's machlokas rishonim whether we wear tefillin or Chol HaMoed. Let's put that aside. The Zohar says you should not wear tefillin on Shabbos. You may not wear your tefillin on Yantif. You may not. It's usher to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. I obviously don't paskin like that Zohar. Not I, but my tradition. So if you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, so tefillin is a kli, it's an item with a specific use, it's usur to use on Shabbos, so that sounds to me like tefillin should be like a flashlight or a hammer, and tefillin should be a kli shemalachta le'isr. And that's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says. He says, there's no Gemara that talks about tefillin being worn on Shabbos, if tefillin are not allowed to be worn on Shabbos, Yontif or Chol HaMoed, but there is a Zohar. If there's a Zohar, and the Gemara doesn't say yes or no, so says the Shulchan Aruch, we should definitely follow the Zohar. And therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch, tefillin would be a kli shemalach to l'isr, which means they are muktzah, but they could be used if, for example, it's obstructing you. Like, you want to get your sefer from behind a pair of tefillin. So you don't have to sort of figure out how to maneuver your arms and your elbows and your teeth and your nose. Just take the tefillin with your hand, move it somewhere else, wherever you want, and get the sefer that you need. Or what happens to me a lot of times, I forgot my talis, which I do wear on Shabbos, in my tefillin bag. So I should have taken it out before Shabbos. They say you should take it out before Shabbos, I think. But if I didn't take it out before Shabbos, I can go ahead and move my tefillin bag around to get my talis out. That's the tzorach makomo. I need that place where my talis is. And my tefillin are there, so that's the tzarach makomo. I can move the tefillin bag. The Ramah, however, before the Ramah, there are other Rishonim who say that you are permitted to wear tefillin on Shabbos, on Yontif, on Chol HaMoed. They argue on the Zohar. They think that there's some indication in the Bavli, Talmud Bavli, but either way, other Rishonim say you can wear tefillin, not that you have to, no one says you have to, but you're permitted to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif, and therefore it's not Aser. So it's not a Klisha Malach Tala Iser. What is it? If it's not a Klisha Malach Tala Iser, it's a Kli Shemalachto Lehetar. And therefore you could move it as long as, if it's a permitted item, you could move it just like a chair. I can move this as long as you need to. As long as you have any need. With that in mind, listen to this very cool line of the Ramah. And only scholars like you will appreciate his words. Listen to this. In Hilchos Moktzah, Siman Shin Ches, 308, that's where all the halachos of Moktzah are. Utfilin, ein l'taltalam, don't move them, ki im l'tzorech, unless you need to. What is that a code word for? Don't move it unless you need to. That's the Ramah's way of saying what? What? That it's a kli shemalachto le heter. He says, don't move it unless you need to move it. I listened to the next line. Actually, I knew the next line. The shofar, asr l'taltlo, you're not allowed to move a shofar, it's an instrument, ki'im l'tzarech gufo o mekomo. So a shofar, you can only move if you need the place or you need an alternate use. That's a kli shemalachto le iser. The first line, tefillin, don't move it unless you need to. Unless you need to, for anything you want. Okay. Halach l'maisa, when it comes to tefillin, we should try to be machmir that we should only move it if we need letzarach makomo or letzarach gufo, except in a situation where you're concerned for a hefsed. Let's say you forgot your tefillin somewhere. So if I forgot my hammer somewhere, and it might get lost, rusty, stolen, I'm sorry. You have to lose your hammer, because it's not letzarach gufo or makomo. But tefillin, because there's a whole machlokus about it, you could rely on the lenient opinions when there's a hefsed, and if you forgot your tefillin, or your brother or your father forgot their tefillin somewhere unsafe, they can rely on the lenient opinions that say tefillin is not muktzah, and take it even for other reasons other than place and alternate use. Yes?
So, this is what we're talking about. What would be an example where I'm allowed to move it only if I need to, and it's not sort of become more sort of local? Like, why else would you move something unless you need to use it or you need a place it's in?
Lastly, we talked about somebody who's a little, what was the word? Who had a sensory integration disorder and needed to, like, flick things, play with things. I'm not looking around and watching who's, like, you know, all of a sudden it's like four hands, like, quickly dive under the table. Not me! Yeah. If you think, you just have to think creatively and look around. You know, if I would go like this as I'm speaking, that would probably be usher. That might be usher on Shabbos. If I lean on it, that's fine. But just to do this for no reason, that's probably, it's not that I'm nervous. That would probably be, I mean, we don't even think about it. But moving the chair just for no reason would probably be usher. Yes?
You mentioned before
the Tzorach Makomo, you need that place where the... Okay, even if it were as buses, it would still be fine because it's only buses to something that's a klisha malach tala iser. But we'll talk about buses another time.
Okay, but you're not using it.
I need that space. I need that tefillah not to be over here because I want to access my talis. Right. Any other questions? Okay. Now, let's finish off this section with 2 points. Let's talk about a case or a holder for something that's muktzah. It's something that you use for holding things that are muktzah, like a wallet without money in it. If a wallet has money in it, then it's a wallet with money. That's a different issue. A wallet without money in it, a pocketbook, but you took your wallet out before Shabbos, and your cell phone, let's say. Just the pocketbook itself. Let's talk about a laptop briefcase, but your laptop is on your desk, so it's just the briefcase. So all those things that are holders of muktza. I'll give you another example. I mean, we didn't talk about this yet, but a fishbowl. A fishbowl holds a fish. Fish we're going to talk about later that are muktza. You have an empty fishbowl, but it's a kli that usually holds things that are muktza. So there, even when it's empty, what's its purpose? What's the purpose of a wallet, even if there's no money there? The purpose of a wallet is to hold money. So it's a kli shemalachto li iser, to do things that are usser. The purpose of this knapsack is to hold a laptop. So even if there's no laptop in it, it's a kli shemalachto li iser. Fine, let's leave that for now. I want to give you one kula. To finish off kli shemalach tula iser, we said that you could move it if you need for an alternate use, legufa, if you need the space, tzarech makoma. What can't you use it for? The classic example of what you can't move it for is something called mechama litzel, to take something out of the sun and bring it into the shade. It's going to get ruined. You want to protect your hammer from getting run over in the driveway. You want to protect your hammer from getting rusty in the rain. You want to protect your hammer from getting stolen. You can't move it. You have to suffer the loss. If you want to use your hammer to open a coconut, that's fine. But to protect it for its own protection, that is what's usher. That's usually the use. The other use, when it's not letzarech makoma, it's not letzarech gufo, and you're not going to do the malacha with it, so what else is left? Basically, to move it for its own protection. Let's say it's 9 in the morning, on your way to shul. You walk outside and you see on the floor outside your door is your hammer, waiting in a spot that will get rained on, that will get stolen, that could blow away in the harsh winds that you're expecting this afternoon. But you know that for dessert after lunch today at around 2 o'clock, 5 hours from now, you have coconuts to serve. So can I move my hammer now to protect it from getting lost, mechama litzel, which is aser, in order to use it litzarech gufo to open a coconut later? You hear this mix? I'm moving. Why am I moving it? Because I don't want it to get lost. That's aser. Why don't I want it to get lost? So it's available for davar heter, to chop open my coconut. So that case is going to be permitted. That is mutter. If you want to move something for its own protection, something that's muktza, because it's a kli shemalach tola iser, and you want to move it for its own protection, it's aser, but if you're using it so that you could have it for later, that will be mutter. Yes. Correct. If you have something equally accessible in your dining room, you have a coconut opener in your dining room, that will probably be aser, right? Even not to prevent the loss. Even if I had it right there, two things right in front of me, I wouldn't be able to. So certainly, preventing loss makes it more problematic. Yeah. We'll talk about designations afterwards. That's in a different category on your page. Yes. There's no problem protecting a kli shemalach tola heter. If I leave my watch outside, I could move my watch wherever I want to protect it. If I'm worried that this is going to get stolen, I can move it to protect. Of course, if there's an eruv, I can move this to protect it. No limitations for protection. Only for kli shemalach tola iser. Okay? One final kula, and then we'll go to the next topic. Could you ask a guy to move something that's muktza? What's a good example? When do you want to ask the guy to move that's muktza? I'll tell you. Let's say on the dining room table, you're having lots of guests for lunch. And on the dining room table is a... No, that's not good. You're having guests for a tea party in your living room, Shabbos afternoon. Okay? You invited them to get the neighbors over for tea, 4 o'clock Shabbos afternoon. But as they walk to your living room, they're going to pass the dining room table, which has your hammer on it and your cell phone, and it doesn't look nice. So last week we explained that you're not allowed to move your hammer and your cell phone because it doesn't look pretty. If I want to sit at the dining room table and the hammer is in my way, That's a tzarach mekomo. I need to get it out of here. It's obstructing my access to the table. But if I'm passing by the table and it doesn't look nice, it's not Shabbistic. So Moshe Feinstein said, I'm not just allowed to move things that are muktzah to get them out of the way, so it doesn't look ugly. But can I tell the maid? Can I tell my babysitter? Can I tell a non-Jewish person to please move those items? Normally, you're not allowed to tell a guy to do things for you, even drabanans, under normal circumstances. Here, however, we have a kula. You are permitted to tell a guy to move a klisha malachta le'iser. Why? Because since there are situations and circumstances that you could do it yourself, maybe not in this situation, but since I could do it, move it letzarach makomo, I could move it letzarach gufo, so therefore I could ask a guy to move it for even when I don't have those needs. Because since this item can be moved by me sometimes, then even though this time I can't move it, I'm allowed to ask a guy to move it on my behalf. That's the kula that we'll finish with. Any questions about a klisha malachta l'issa? Yes. You could say, Tony, move, or please move my hammer and cell phone. I don't like it here. Right. No hints, no insinuations. Yes. I'm sorry? Pocketbook? Okay, let's assume the pocketbook is only has klisha malachta l'issur in it. Money is a different story. We'll get to money in about 6 minutes. But assume there's no money in it. We're just talking about there's a cell phone in it, there's a calculator in it, there's a pen in it. All kinds of things are klisha malachta l'issur. And you want to get your glasses? Yeah, you can tell the guy to get your glasses. Maybe you could even get your glasses because it's rummaging through it. Letzarach makomo. You need that space where your glasses are. Yes. Okay. If there's a hefsed gadol, there are, in general, we should know, halachas and muktzah apply even b'makom hefsed. That means, even if you will suffer a loss, because of the halachas of muktzah, you have to sustain that loss. You're asked if there's an incredible loss or a very significant loss, then halachas d'rabbanan do shift. And you have to ask a shayla if that is the case. But that's going to be a shayla that's equally askable in many areas of Isurim Durabanan. Whenever there's a Hefsed Merubah, does the Isur Durabanan apply? And that's a different, it's a very different kind of Shaila. That you have to ask a Shaila B'Shas Mais, a specific Shaila regarding that specific case, regarding all those specific details. Okay, new topic. Within the world of Muktzah, let's go take a look at your sheets, if you don't mind. We're now going to talk about the left column on the left side, believe it or not, in the middle, Machmas Gufo. Muktza Machmas Gufo. What's Muktza Machmas Gufo? Everyone have their sheet? Muktza Machmas Gufo is defined by Rabbi Baruch Chait's 39 Malachos book, objects that are not utensils and have no ordinary Shabbat function, like frozen raw fish, untithed fruit, you could tell he's from Eretz Yisrael, raw potato, money, raw spaghetti, plant, earth, animal. So he basically took away the next 15 minutes of my shiur with that one line, but we'll talk about them in detail for the next few minutes until we finish. What's mukta machmas gufo? It's mukta because of itself. Notice it didn't say the word kli here. These things are not utensils. It's not a kli. Anything that's not a kli, and listen carefully to this line because this will give us a general definition that we're going to work with. Anything that's not a kli, it's not a utensil, and it's not an edible food, and it's not a book, is mukta. I'll say that again. Anything that's not a kli, nor a food, nor a book, is mukta. And it is really mukta. It can't be moved at all. Even if you need the place that it's in, even if you want to use it for an alternate use. Let's talk about classic cases of dirt, rocks, sticks, leaves. I want to use a stick that I find outside to scratch my back. It's a kufo. It's aser. A ruler I can. A crochet needle I can. A stick outside is aser. I want to use a rock outside or inside for a paperweight. So I could use a flashlight for a paperweight, I could use a calculator for paperweight. I could use a cell phone for a paperweight. A rock I cannot move, letzarach gufo. I cannot use a rock for a paperweight, unless it's my pet rock, and we'll talk about how to make a pet rock yours. How to adopt rocks, that will be probably the beginning of next year. Very significant, money. Money is not a kli. Why is money not a kli? Any economists here? Let me rephrase it. Anyone who studied economics, Asian economics in college here? Besides me? Come on. What? Why is it not a kli? Why is money not a kli? What is money? What is money? What's money? Paper and metal. Wow, that's pretty naive. What's money, yeah?
It represents a promise from the government.
That's modern money. Okay, that's since, I don't know, the past 60 years. Modern money represents a promise of the government that they don't have to ever fulfill, yeah? What? Okay, so money is a few things. The economists say money could be a store of value. Money could be a medium of exchange. Money could be a different, talk to economists. You look at the first chapter of any economics, we'll tell you money is. No one will tell you that money is something that you use to take the body of the money and do something with it. You don't take money and like, I mean, you don't shave, but you don't take money and like shave, you know, trim your beard with your money. You don't take your bills and, you know, like scoop out ice cream or melon balls with a dollar bill. If you do, we have, okay. So it's not a kli. A kli is something that you do something, you do something with. I can't say better than that. You do something with the body of a kli. You use it actively. Money, you don't use it in the sense of using a utensil. You spend it. It has, of course, I'm not saying it doesn't have a use. You do something with it, but you don't really do anything with it. It gets stuff done for you. You buy stuff, but that's not using the body of the money. You're not using the central physical paper or metal or whatever it is. Whether you say that money is representative value, or when we were on the gold standard and money was essentially valuable, even if it was a piece of gold, even if it was a gold coin which has its own value within it, not just representing some value hidden somewhere in Fort Knox or some promise that some government offers. Even if it's essentially there, you still don't use the gold in this gold coin to, you know, eat your challenge with. So therefore, money is not a kli, it's not a food, it's not a book, it's mukta machmas gufo. And therefore, you cannot move it, and this we all know naturally, we can't move it, even if I need the place where it's located, even if I want to use it for something else. Let's say I want to take the dollar bill and wipe the sweat off my brow. Letzarach gufo, I could do that with a... What's a klisha machtel iser that I would wipe this out of my brow with?
Salad bag.
That's too complicated for me. A salad bag? But that, is that a klisha machtel iser? Oh, it's electric. Oh, it's electric.
No, it's not electric, but it's
Borer. Oh, I never even thought of that. Interesting. Okay. Yes. So let me just change your question to make it convenient for myself, please. Let's say you have money on your dining room table and it's in your way and you want to eat dinner. So you know what? Eat dinner somewhere else. Or it's on your dining room table and someone's going to walk away with it. You know what? Lose your money. What was your question? Yeah, I just wanted to say that because it would illustrate my point. But you're allowed to touch money, right? You're allowed to touch mukta, right? Oh, you're moving. Okay, fine. So you might move it. So moving it inadvertently. I would probably, given this situation, I'd probably just leave it there and try not to move it. Because there's no heter to move it. But I hear where you're coming from. I'm not sure about the case exactly. Yes. Credit card, definitely, I don't think it's a kli. You could use it to scratch your head, but I don't think it's a kli. And therefore, it would probably be mukta machmas gufo. There might be some other categories on the sheet you could look around that we won't discuss tonight. Yeah. You definitely can, but that's not what it's not an item that has a defined purpose. So you could use it for something. You could scratch your head with a coin, but it's not it's not an item with a defined use. Okay? Let's just finish with one or two more examples. A bar of soap, detergent, a deodorant bar. These are things that are not kalim. They're not utensils. They're just globs. That's not the right word. How do you say glob just in solid form? Blob?
Masses.
Masses. Thank you. There we go. It's always good having a math major here. Math major, right? No? Okay. It's always good having a journalist here. Bricks are not a kli. I could do stuff with it, but they don't have a defined form that I'm going to use. Can of paint. Paint is nothing that I could use on Shabbos. It doesn't have a form. Plants are the same thing. Plants are not a kli. They're not food. They're not a book. And maybe we'll finish off today mentioning, but not saying, the halachas of animals. Animals, otherwise known as pets, P-E-T-S, are not food, they're not kalim, and they're not svarim. And therefore, essentially, animals or pets, all of you who have them, better come back next week, ought to be mukta machmas gufo. Next week, we'll see what the deal with pets will be, and we'll continue mukta machmas gufo. Lava tov.